Please take your Bible and turn with me this morning to Psalm 16. As ministers and elders, we've had a wonderful week in the presence of the Lord. It's been a rich time of blessing, a time of seeking His face, a time when we get to sit under the Word and be fed ourselves, and it has been an encouraging time. Though it is a busy week, yet it is a real blessing. And again, I offer my heartfelt thanks to the congregation along with Mr. Saunders for all the workers and for their help this week. With our Bibles open, before we come to the reading of God's Word, let's just bow our heads in prayer and seek the Lord. Our Father and our God in heaven, we would bow our heads now in Thy presence as we come to Thy holy Word. We pray, Lord, that Your Word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Direct our thoughts, that we would indeed be brought to the place where we consider again the great love of Christ for us, that we would look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look into Thy Word now, Lord, we pray that our minds would be engaged, that we would not tune out, but we would tune in to the Word of God and listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Encourage our hearts. Build up Your people. We're thankful for Your blessing upon this church in this past week and all the benefits that we have enjoyed as a result of the minister's week of prayer. We're thankful, Lord, for the ordination on Wednesday night. Evident token that the Lord is in His church, building His church, adding to the church, providing for the church. And we pray, Lord, that as we rejoice in Your goodness to us, that we would be thankful. We would indeed serve the Lord with gladness. Lord, help now as we come to the Word. Open hearts to Your truth. Open hearts as You opened Lydia's heart, we pray. Come and minister to us. We stand again in great need, each and every one of us. We have varying issues, degrees of problems, things we need answers for. We need to hear from the Lord. Oh, that we would be hearers this day, taking Your Word and applying it in our lives. Sow the good seed, we pray, Lord, that it would fall on good ground, and that it would indeed bring forth good fruit to Your honor and to Your glory. So hear our cry, bless Thy Word, undertake for us by the power of Thy Spirit, and do us good, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you look to the psalm, you will notice the title of this psalm. It bears that title, Miktam of David. That word, miktam, is an interesting word. It simply means golden. This is a golden psalm. It is a precious psalm. In other words, it is of rich value to the believer. It is a golden psalm of David. Indeed, many believers over the years have drawn great comfort, rich blessing from this wonderful portion of the Word of God. It is precious. It is rich. It is of surpassing value and excellence. And that is true because of the one in view here. We can see Christ in this psalm. And that's what makes it a precious or a rich psalm. Unto those who believe, Jesus Christ is indeed precious. In the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, he applied this psalm to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was preaching in that place in particular about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." David spoke of Christ from Psalm 16. He's quoting there Psalm 16. In Acts chapter 13, The Apostle Paul also points to Christ and the resurrection from this very same psalm. Christ is in view, and that's what makes this psalm precious. And I want you to think, as we read this psalm now, as we come to the Word of God, just listen to the words and view them as the words of Christ, offering petitions to his Father. Christ is in view here. And we could say this is a prayer of Christ. And as we read this psalm, we are listening to the heart of Christ. We are listening to the prayer of Christ. And so as we read these words, I want you to do something. I want you just to apply these words. Think of them as the words of Christ himself. Christ is in view. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And as you read this psalm, as you think of it in this way, that this is the word of Christ, who else can speak of the pleasures at God's right hand like Christ? Who knows of the fullness of those pleasures like Christ? Who could say, as our text verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's the verse I want us to focus upon today. Especially those words, I have set the Lord always before me. Only Christ could truly ever make a statement like that. It was his delight to do the Father's will. He could say with his whole heart, in all honesty, I do always those things that please him. I labor not for meat which perishes, but I'm laboring to do the will of my Father in heaven. I have an eternal purpose. I have a great work to do of the Father, and only Christ could say, I have set the Lord God always before me. You know, as I read that verse, and I hope as you read that verse today, you will ask yourself this question. Do I do this? Do I live in this fashion? Do I live for the glory and honor of the Lord? Is it my desire and delight to do his will? Is that my purpose for living? Do I set the Lord always before me? Ask yourself, do I include the Lord in the decisions that are going to affect the whole course of my life? Do I do that? And we have to say to our shame that we do not always set the Lord before us in that way as Christ did. We fail to inquire after the Lord. We fail to ask the Lord as to his will and the way in which he would have us go. We fail to include the Lord in those decisions that affect our life. So often we forget the Lord. We leave him out of our plans. He is not in our thoughts. And yet, the wonderful truth is the Lord never, ever forgets his people. He has us in view. As it was Christ's will and joy to do the Father's will, his delight, his desire, that he would see many sons brought in, brought to glory, saved by grace on account of his finished work. We were in his thoughts. We were in his mind, upon his heart, and all he did in fulfillment of the Father's plan, he did for our good and for God's own glory. And Christ could say, I have set the Lord always before me. Do we do this? This is the secret, if you like, to the pilgrim's progress as we walk through the wilderness of this world. This must be the key for us if we are to progress, setting the Lord always before us. You know, this text really tells us how to prepare for the daily course of life, how to face the day, how to face the difficulties, the challenges, the problems that we need solutions for, how we are to live and conduct ourselves in this wilderness. We are just strangers and pilgrims here, passing through this world. How are we to live before the ungodly? Set the Lord always before us. And just as Peter and Paul in the book of Acts, they could preach from this passage the power of the resurrection, the power of Christ, who rose again from the dead. So it is that sight of Christ that we need day by day. It's that sight of the risen Lord that we need, a sight of the one who, by his power, the power of his Spirit, which quickens us to walk in newness of life, to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling. It is that sight of Christ as we set the Lord before us, as we look to him for grace. He is the one who gives grace to do the Father's will. And apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing spiritually productive or of eternal value or worth without the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me. Christ is the forerunner of his people. He goes before us. He is the one who has paved the way for the child of God, for the believer. He paves the way to glory. He will bring us, he will show us the path of life, it says here in verse 11. He will bring us into his presence. We will enjoy that experience, the fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord, and we will dwell with him eternally. That's our glorious prospect. That's what we have to look forward to. And Christ, the forerunner, has gone before. He paves the way to glory. How do we know that? John 14 makes it very clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so as we trust in Christ, we have this hope. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, if you turn over there, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says we can approach God, we can come to God with confidence because we have known the remission of sins. In Hebrews 10, verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to come to God, enter into His holy presence by the blood of Jesus, by that new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, into the holiest of holies, coming before the throne of the King, into His glorious presence, because of what Christ has accomplished for us. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us. We have this high priest over the house of God. He paves the way, and so we are reconciled to God. We can draw near through Him. There's no other way to approach God. There's no other way of acceptance with God. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has opened the way to heaven by His death on the cross, shedding His precious blood for our sins. And now, being raised again, He is seated at the Father's right hand, living to make intercession for us, preparing a place for us. He said to His disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, but I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's our prospect as believers. Christ has paved the way. We're trusting in His finished work, and He is now preparing a place of eternal rest for His people. We're secure in Christ. Jesus prepares the way for His people in that He is able also to make the crooked ways straight and the rough places plain. As we traverse through life, as we go through the wilderness of this world, the Lord has said, "I will go before thee. I will lead you. I will direct you. I will counsel you. I will guide you with mine eye. I will counsel you, that is, and I will keep my eye upon you. I will go before you." And that which appears to be an obstacle for us, the Lord can easily remove. He paves the way. He prepares the way. Isaiah 45 and the verse 2 says, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break the pieces of the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will go before thee." And we are to look unto Him. I've set the Lord always before me. And we learn from that no one can prevent God's will from being accomplished. He will do His work. He will accomplish His will. His plans and His purposes for His people will not be thwarted. He will complete the work. And so no enemy, no angel, no man can hinder the purposes of God. All must yield to His will, bow to Him. And He says here, He is able to break the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, to remove those obstacles that would hinder the progress of His church and of His people. And we are to follow Him, setting the Lord always before us. What did the Lord say in Matthew 16? "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That is, the gates of hell will not bar the way. The church is that mighty army moving forward, progressing, going on. And as Satan would put up those obstacles in the way, the Lord will remove them. He will destroy them. He will defeat the adversary. And we will go forward by His power. Believer, for you in your daily life, the Lord is able to help you as you set the Lord always before you. You notice what it says there? "I have set the Lord always before me." There's something consistent there. We must be faithful in doing this. And we understand from this that the Lord will make the way clear as we faithfully follow Him. Always. Always. Thomas Brooks said, "In every place, in every condition, in every company, in every employment, in every enjoyment, I have set the Lord always before me." And he went on to say, the more a Christian will do that, as you do that, believer, this will raise any Christian by degrees to a very great height of holiness. There will be that close communion with God, fellowship with Him, as we set the Lord before us. Look to Him. Seek His will. Seek His plan. Above mine own ambitions, Lord. Above my own interests. Not my selfish desires, but Thy will be done. And so He says, I have set the Lord always before me. We're to go forward. How do we go forward? We go forward by faith, trusting in the Lord. As we set Him before us, He has promised, as we do this, He shall direct our path. We don't need to scratch our head and try to figure it out on our own. The Lord will direct our paths as we acknowledge Him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, in all thy ways. Again, the sense, always be faithful in setting the Lord before you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. He will direct your steps. And we are to trust Him. We are to have faith in God, faith in the providence of God. Because God in His wisdom knows what He is doing. Sometimes we are confused. We don't understand the will of God. We don't understand why the Lord allows certain things to happen in our life. But yet He knows what is best for us. His way may not be our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much greater. They're infinite. They're higher than our ways and our thoughts. We may not see or understand now, but He will make the way clear. The Lord will make the way clear for those who faithfully follow Him. We go forward by faith, trusting in the Lord, faith in the providence of God. That is faith in the sovereign purpose of God. That's what girds us up. That's what holds us up. We're trusting the Lord's wisdom. We're trusting the Lord's power. We're trusting that He knows what He's doing. He is overall in control. And just to think, just to stop and to think, when you don't understand what's going on, just to stop and think and to say to yourself, God is in control. He is sovereign. I must trust in Him. That helps me on my way. That helps me to go on, to persevere, trust His hand to direct all, and commit all into His hand. I have set the Lord always before me. But you notice also here in our text, we have this promise, the promise of His presence with us. Not only an indication of His power, His right hand upholding, controlling all things, but you have this promise of His presence. I will go with you. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. The Lord said to Moses and to Israel through Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward. And Moses, as he called upon the Lord in Exodus 33, he said, now if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, Lord, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, that he may have this assurance that the Lord was with him, favoring him. He had grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord said in response to Moses' request, my presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up, not up hence. We need this assurance, this confidence in our heart that the Lord is with us. He's at our right hand to help us. And the Lord has given that promise to His people. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end, to the end of the age, to eternity. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can with boldness say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is saying to His people, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to cut you off and cast you aside. You're my people. You're my portion. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. You're my people. I'm going to uphold you by my hand, by my power. I'm with you, and I will be with you to the end. Go forward. Go forward. And the reason you need not fear, the Lord says, my presence shall go with thee. I will give you rest. We were encouraged by a message on Friday from Philippians 3 by our brother Ian Gallagher to press on, to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This is the calling of every child of God, striving for the prize. And we're called to go forward trusting in the Lord, trusting in His providence, trusting in His power, trusting in His presence. He is with us. We're called to go forward, press toward the mark, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, the past is gone. You can't get it back. It's gone. We are to reach forth to the prize. We're not to live on past blessings. We're to seek to take new ground for the Lord, trusting in Him. Not as though we had already attained, Paul says in Philippians 3. Either we're already perfect, we're not perfect, we have a ways to go, we're following after the Lord, we're setting the Lord always before us, trying to understand, apprehend the reason why the Lord has apprehended us and laid hold of us by His grace, taken us to Himself, made us His own. We want to understand that. We're not worthy of it. And yet the Lord has set His love upon us. But then He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reach forth to the prize. We can reflect upon the past, the blessings of the past. We can learn from the mistakes of the past. But the Lord calls us to go forward, to pursue the future prize. This is the way forward. Setting the Lord always before us. The secret to the pilgrim's progress, as I said, as we walk through the wilderness of this world, as Bunyan so aptly put it, we're to set the Lord before us. That is, lay hold of Christ by faith. Trust Him. Hold on to Him. Follow after Him with the whole heart. Live in conformity to Him. And we have this assurance, He will hold us up. He is by our right hand. I shall not be moved. We go forward as we recognize His presence. We're aware and conscious of the Lord's presence with us, among us, working in us, as individuals, as a church. And we have this assurance that He will hold us up. We're kept by the power of God through faith. We know that we cannot keep ourselves. That's why we must look to the Lord. Keep our eyes upon Him. We will go forward as we recognize His mighty power, not only to save us, but to keep us, to preserve our life, and to bring us into His holy presence. And as we traverse the path of life, we can experience the joy of His presence with us. Yes, there's future joy for us to look forward to. We have a great prospect, something before us. When we leave this scene of time, this place of tears and sorrow and this valley of death, when we leave this place of time, we have a great prospect, the joy that is set before us of entering into His presence. And in His presence is fullness of joy. But can we not know something of His presence and that joy, the experience of that joy, day by day as we look to Him? What's the grand outcome here of setting the Lord before us always? There's some encouragements for us. As you look at verse 9, the following verses, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, here's the outcome. Here's the result. The grand effect, the fruit of setting the Lord before us, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall rest in hope. He will show me the path of life. So there you have some of those outcomes. Divine guidance. He will show me. As I look to the Lord, He will not leave me to myself. He will show me the path of life. There's divine guidance. There's also gladness, gladness of heart. My heart rejoices. There's that joy in His presence. Just submitting to the Lord and being led by the Lord and letting the Lord have control. Therefore, my heart is glad and rejoices. There's confidence, guidance, gladness, confidence. My flesh shall rest in hope. It says in the margin of your Bible, my flesh shall dwell confidently, confidently. Because the Lord is with us, among us, He promises to help us. We can go forward with boldness, confidence, saying, the Lord is my helper. There's also that assurance there, that peace of soul, that peace of mind, that no matter what is going on around, we are unmoved by surrounding circumstances and difficulties. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. There's stability, there's assurance, there's peace of soul. The Lord has promised to bring me safely through to glory. I suppose it's that failure to acknowledge the Lord that leads to so much unrest and trouble and disturbance of soul. Lack of peace, lack of assurance, lack of joy, lack of power, lack of confidence, because we have not set the Lord before us. And when we lose out with the Lord, we lose our joy, we lose our peace, we lose our power. As David found out in Psalm 51, he acknowledged that. But the wonderful thing is, as we rest in the Lord, there is this assurance. God has not appointed us to wrath. He will not leave our soul in hell. He will not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. God has not appointed us to wrath, but as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a salvation that is secure in Christ. The Lord Almighty, is faithful. He will establish us and keep us from evil. So what does it mean to set the Lord always before us? Well, as we do that, it will mean that Christ will have the preeminence in our life. He will have priority. Christ will have preeminence. It will be our priority to live for Jesus. We will want to walk in a manner that is worthy of Christ, worthy of our profession of faith. We will delight in doing those things that He delights in. And there is a submitting to His will, a living in the awareness of God, depending upon His grace. Trusting Him. He will have the preeminence in our life. As we set the Lord before us, we will not forget to include the Lord in our plans. No matter how big that decision or how small that decision. Just to ask the Lord and to stop and say, Lord, is this your will? Is this your purpose for me? Show me thy ways. Include the Lord in your plans. As we set the Lord before us, we will avoid that destructive path. You know, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death and destruction. It appeals to you. It appears to be the right way. It offers pleasure, but it ends in destruction. But as we set the Lord before us, we will have that discernment to understand the right way. He will lead us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He will lead us in a way that is good. There are some paths God does not want us to go down. It's the way of the ungodly, as Psalm 1 makes it clear, the path of the sinner. We're to avoid that way. We will pray for His leading as we set the Lord before us. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy path, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Again, it is that failure to inquire after the Lord. David learned the hard way as he failed to inquire after the Lord on occasion, failed to seek the Lord. The mind of the Lord, acting in haste. We act like that sometimes. We act in haste. We go our own way. We do our own thing. We fail to inquire after the Lord, and we find it is a disastrous way. It ends in ruin, but he will show us the path of life. Christ, as the great shepherd, leads his sheep, divinely guiding them in the right way, but only as we listen to his voice, because he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." The Lord will clear the way as we faithfully follow him. I know them, they follow me. And friend, the Lord has a meaningful pathway for your life, a purpose for your life. And that path is revealed in his word. His will for your life is never divorced from his word. He reveals himself in the word. Let the word of Christ be your guide. Set the Lord always before you. Look to his word. Trust in him. Before your own desires, before your own interests, before your own ambitions, ask the Lord, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" And the Lord will show you. He will guide you from his word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It will teach you, it will admonish you, it will direct you, so that whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, you will do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May this word be an encouragement to you to seek the Lord. If you know not the Lord today, look to him. He offers that remedy for sin. The only answer to the problem of sin is Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Set the Lord before you. Lay hold of him by faith. Believer, keep looking to the Lord. It's the only way to progress in the Christian life. It's the path of sanctification. It's the secret to success. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today and encourage us to continue seeking after him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word, the direction of your word. It is a pure word. It is a perfect word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Shine upon us, Lord. We're thankful for the promise of your presence. Give power to your people to persevere, to keep on going. As we look to thee, our strength is renewed. We're upheld, and we go forth with assurance, with confidence, serving the Lord with gladness. Lord, receive our thanks for this past week, for ministering to our hearts, being in our midst, in every meeting, every message. Lord, we pray that you continue in these days to come, that we would see signs following the ministry of your word. Direct our steps. Help us to be submissive to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.